You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. How you doing these days? It seems that things are moving in a better direction as far as the pandemic and COVID, and the numbers are going down, and it almost feels like our state is starting to wake up, and we can see on the horizon some very positive changes, which are very exciting, and yet at the same time, it hasn't happened yet, and so there's almost like this tension that's going on. And I think it's just perfect that we're in a series called It Is Well. And we're talking about how we navigate in a world that seems so out of control, right? We can see something that we want to happen, but it's not here, and I can't make it happen, and I have to wait. How do I keep walking in faith when I can't see my way forward? If you missed Pastor Tim's message last week, I want to encourage you to check that out, about how we can continue to walk in faith in this season. Today we're going to talk about how we overcome the monster of worry, which is something that we're all familiar with. Truth be told, worry is one of the most common daily destructive habits that we have as human beings. Have you noticed we worry about the future and we worry about the past, right? As if worrying about the past is going to do anything. We worry when things are good and we worry when things are bad, right? We worry when things change, and then we worry when things don't change. We worry when the boss wants to talk to us, and we worry when he doesn't want to talk to us, right? We're trying to figure out what is going on. I got an email one time. The subject line simply said, "Start worrying now. I'll send details later." Why is it that we have such a tendency to fill our mind with all sorts of things that we should worry about? And when it comes to our money, right, we worry perhaps, maybe if we don't have a lot, if we're going to have enough to make it to the end of the month. And then if we have a lot of money, if we have too much money, we worry that we're going to lose it, something's going to happen. If we have a job, we worry about our job security. We worry about our boss and how they're working with us. And am I going to have a job tomorrow? And we worry about our relationships, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our kids, with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers. We worry about our health, right? We worry about our weight. Am I carrying too much? Am I carrying too little? We worry about getting old, about the wrinkles in our face. We worry about our love life. Am I going to find the right person? And then if I found the person, are they going to keep loving me in the future? And then what happens if, you know, when we retire, they die first or I die first? We worry about so many things. We're all familiar with the monster of worry. Let me just give you a definition, because I think the very definition of the word is so helpful for us to understand how devastating worry is. This is from Merriam-Webster. There's several different definitions. I want to read them all to you because they're so powerful. First of all, it comes from kind of the British originally, and it literally means to choke or to strangle. The second one meaning is to harass by tearing, biting or snapping, right? Especially at the throat, right? You worry at something. To shake or pull at with the teeth. We talk about a dog worrying at a bone sometimes. To touch or disturb something repeatedly, right? It's kind of an older usage of the term, stop worrying me, when you talk to your kids and they keep harassing each other. Or stop worrying your brother, stop worrying your sister. To change the position or to adjust repeatedly, right, by pushing or pulling or hauling, to assail with rough or aggressive attack or treatment, literally torment, right? Worry is torment. To subject to persistent or nagging attention or effort. And then finally, to afflict with mental distress or agitation, to make anxious. I mean, my goodness, worry is the worst. Let me ask you a question today. Are you worried about anything? Does something have its grip on you and it's strangling and choking the life out of you? Every time you think about it, you just feel the breath go out of your lungs. Are you waking up perhaps in the middle of the night? Your mind is racing with concerns about the future, about your kids, about your family, your health, your finances. Maybe that's why you're hearing this lesson today, right? Maybe the fact is that God can help you overcome your worry. And the truth is he does. I have good news for you, that God says something very specific about what you're going through. He not only cares what you're dealing with, but he wants to help you, and he has the power to help you, which is the most amazing thing, is that we come to a God that not only loves us, but he wants to do something about it. I want to turn with you to Matthew chapter 6, a section of scripture where Jesus is speaking to his followers, and he's talking to them about life. And in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking to them about how to pray. And he just gets into the nitty-gritty of everyday life and how we are to walk as disciples, as followers of Jesus. And he begins, at least I'm going to pick it up in verse 25, and he says this, "This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life." Let me just pause there for a second. Whenever you're reading scripture and you see a phrase like "this is why" or "that is why," you want to take a moment and ask yourself the question, well, what is the "this" referring to, right? And so you always, as a just a method of Bible study, you look at the surrounding verses because it gives you information about what those verses that you're reading right now are about. So if you were to take your Bible and you look back a few verses right before he says, "This is why you shouldn't worry," it's the section where he's talking about money. And he's talking about how we have to be careful not to invest too much of our life into material things. Because if we hold on, if we invest ourselves so much in holding on to our physical wealth and our physical stuff, then we'll end up serving it instead of God. Some of you might be familiar with that passage. No man can serve two masters, right? You either end up serving God or mammon. That's right before this section on worry. And so Jesus is talking to them. He's saying, listen, this is the way that we live life. This is how we walk through our daily existence with all the things that we're facing. And the truth is 2,000 years ago, they were human beings dealing with many of the same struggles and challenges we are today. Political upheaval and uncertainty about the future. They dealt with money needs. They dealt with just relationship issues, all the same types of things. So this is so powerful and so applicable to us right now where we're at. And so oftentimes when it comes to money, right, Jesus knew the reason we chase things is because we think that we need them. We think that we need them. And Jesus is saying, no, that's actually not right. So let's pick it up again in verse 25. And he says this, "This is why I tell you never to be worried about your life, for all you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing?" I mean, Jesus is just asking some rhetorical questions here. He's just saying, hey, guys, let me talk to you for a second about how important you are to God. Verse 26, "Look at all the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides for them each with food. Aren't you more valuable to your Father than they? So which one of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at all the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work or toil. And yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was robed in beauty more than one of these. So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is there for such a time, for a short time, and then dried up and burned, won't he provide you the clothes you need, even though you have little faith? So then, forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself." Wow, it's an amazing passage speaking to us right now, where we're at, worrying about the future, worrying about what we're going to wear, worrying about what we're going to eat, worrying about what tomorrow's going to look like. And Jesus says, no, wait a second. Remember, take a look at the birds. They don't worry, right? They don't hide their money under the bed or store extra food in the pantry. Look at the flowers, he says. Look at the meadows. They don't do anything but just sprout and grow. And they don't plan their wardrobe, and yet God cares for them and makes them more beautiful, he says, than even Solomon in his greatest splendor, the greatest king of all. I mean, if you ever take a drive during the springtime towards the coast, you know how those hills look as those flowers, the wildflowers begin to bloom. It's just amazing, like nothing more beautiful and incredible than that. And it's gone in just a moment, and yet Jesus's point is here, these little things. I love them so much. I love all of my creation so much. I'm going to provide for everyone. The point is, they don't worry. The flowers of the field don't worry. The birds don't worry. They trust. They trust. Let me talk to you for a few minutes. If you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to do that. One of the reasons we take notes is because it really prepares us. Not only we're learning this, but it's almost like you're hiding that valuable lesson in your heart so you can come back to it and maybe share with someone else. Don't you have a family member? Don't you have kids? Don't you have friends that are full of worry, perhaps right now? They might need to be reminded of these things. So I just want to talk to you for a minute about the danger of worry. You could write that down. If you want to follow along in the notes online, you can do that as well. If you're watching this live, that's in the YouVersion app, the Bible app on your phone or on your iPad, and you can pull it up under the events tab. Now, worry is the opposite of trust. Right? When I don't trust someone, I worry about them. Right? Will they show up on time? Will they do what they said they would do? Are they going to be honest with me? Are they trying to hurt me? Are they trying to scam me? Right? What is their true agenda? Right? The opposite of trust is worry. And number one, if you want to write this down, worry is destructive. As we said earlier, the very word means distraught or distracted, distressed, harassed, tormented, troubled. Corrie ten Boom said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And that's the truth. Worry steals your joy, right? It steals your peace. If you're in the presence of the Lord, the word says that we find perfect peace in that place. Worry has a way of robbing us of the ability to live in and experience the peace that the Lord wants us to experience. It is His abiding presence that we so desperately need to live in, right? And worry destroys that constant connection that we are to have with the Spirit of God. Day by day, moment by moment, supported and sustained by Him, living in His presence means living in His peace. And worry comes in and it snatches us, it pulls us right out of that place of perfect peace. This is what Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs a person down. Haven't you experienced that? The weight of worry is destructive. And it damages us to our very core. It steals us of the presence of the Lord very often. And we're not designed to carry worry. We are designed to be dependent on the Lord. We're designed to trust Him and allow Him to carry our worries, allow Him to worry about the future. And so worry is such a destructive force that we have to say, you know what, I can't live in that place. The second thing about worry is that worry is deceptive, right? Worry gives us a false view of life. It really actually lies to us about who God is. What it does is it convinces us of a lie that our life is made up of the physical concerns, that's what we really have to be focused on, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to do, what's going to happen in the future. And when we enter into that lie, what we're doing is we're accepting something that's offered to us by the enemy of our souls. That lie says God doesn't care for His creation. It says somehow that you and I are less important to God than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Now, we should note that doesn't mean that we don't cooperate in the process, for example, of working and making food and those types of things, right? Even the birds have to go out and work for their food. They search in the morning, right? They go out and fly early because they need to get the worm, right? So our participation is expected. We're not saying, you know, that we're just saying, oh, I'm not going to worry about anything, so I'm not going to do anything. We're not saying that. What we're doing is we're reminding ourselves of the steady confidence that we have that God is ultimately in control. Yeah, I'm going to do my part, and I'm not going to worry about the rest. Right? There's a trust that is in there that I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to be true, but ultimately God is my Father, and He's the one that's going to provide for me. He's the one that's going to feed me. He's going to want to make sure that I have a job. He's going to make sure I have income, all the things. He's going to care for my family, all those things that I can't control. They're outside of my realm of power. Now, there's a further deception that happens here too, which I think is important to point out. We seem to believe that worry actually does something, right? Otherwise we wouldn't do it, right? I mean, on the one hand, we know it doesn't do anything. We know that that worry is actually a terrible thing, that for some people, they worry themselves right into ulcers and into early graves. But we find ourselves, there's a quality about worry that is somehow gratifying, right? So we've trained ourselves to spin on these things that we're concerned about. And even though we can't do anything about them, we find ourselves somehow that there's a feeling of satisfaction that we get from going back to it and turning it over and gnawing at it and bring it back into our minds. And Jesus reminds us here in this passage, He says that our worries don't add even 1 minute to our lives. Instead, what worry does, of course, is it takes away from our lives. And the truth is that God has both the power and the desire to care for us. The problem is not that He cannot do those things. The problem is not that He doesn't want to do those things. The problem is that we often don't have the faith to trust, and we instead prefer to worry. Worry is such a deception in that way. The third thing I want you to see here is that worry is deformative, right? I got all these D words. It's destructive, it's deceptive, and it's deformative. It actually deforms us. Worry changes us. It twists us into something that we are not intended to be. As followers of Christ, we are intended to be full of faith, full of joy, full of peace. Worry is not just a bad idea, it's actually sin, right? Romans 14:23 says that everything that does not come from faith is sin. And worry and faith, they're not compatible. They cannot go together, right? Faith and trust are the opposite of worry. Jesus said that for us, we have to live with deep trust. That's who Jesus' people are. We are trusting the Master. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7 that we are to cast all of our worries upon Him because He cares for us. I have noticed that a major strategy that the enemy uses, and perhaps he's used this with you, is that if he cannot get you to outright walk away from the Lord, what he'll do is he'll do everything he can to limit you in your areas of victory, in your areas of living and blessing. So if the Lord blesses you financially, for example, then he'll try to make you stingy and tight-fisted, right? Because it steals then the joy of being generous that the Lord has given you all this and now you can give it away. If the Lord gives you the gifts of, for example, great friendships, then the enemy will do his best to mess things up so that you experience hurt and betrayal with those friendships, and then you'll withdraw and you'll start to say things to yourself like, I'm never gonna have a friendship like that again. I'm never gonna open myself up again in that same way. See, the enemy is always seeking to deform you into something different than what the Lord desires for you. And that's what worry does, is it twists you and it allows you to become something that Jesus never intended you to become. So don't play into his hands. Don't allow worry to transform you from a faith-filled, fire-breathing, confident believer into an ulcer-riddled, Pepto-Bismol worry wart. That's not what God has for you. He has life and joy and peace. That is what we are destined to live in if we simply say no to what the enemy is offering to us and we say yes to what Jesus is teaching us. So in these last few minutes, let me just talk to you about how we turn worry into worship, turning worry into worship. If it does all these terrible things, well, how do we get a hold of it? How do we receive the peace that Jesus offers to us? And now, when we're talking about worship, I just want you to know there's at least two different kinds of worship, right? One type of worship is when you praise God because of what He has done, right? That's a gratitude, a thanksgiving type of worship. We praise God after He has taken us through the storm because we have seen His great faithfulness. And that is a powerful kind of worship, right? We celebrate the goodness of God because we have been reminded of how awesome He is. But there's another kind of worship that I think is usually, well, it is. It's much more difficult. It's the type of worship that is when you praise God in the middle of the storm, before you have seen His faithfulness. In the middle of the storm, you can't tell how long the storm is going to last. You can't tell how bad it's going to be. You don't know when you're going to get through it or how you're going to get through it sometimes. But if we decide in faith to worship right there in that place, why? Because we know God is over the storm. We know God is in control. We know He cares and for His people, and He loves His people, and He's going to care for us. We know He's going to be faithful, and He never leaves us or forsakes us. We praise in that moment. That is powerful worship. Now, a couple of weeks ago, it seems like ancient history, the Tampa Bay Patriots won the Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? But I don't want to talk about the game in particular, right? I want to talk instead about a Super Bowl that happened a couple of years before that, Super Bowl 51. Some of you will remember very well. The Patriots were playing the Falcons. Now, if you're a Patriots fan, then you love to talk about this particular game. You bring it up. We're sick of you talking about it. Don't ever talk about it again. If you're a Patriots fan, just be quiet. But this is a worthy story to remind us of. When you talk about that game as a Patriots fan, you can say with total confidence that their quarterback, Tom Brady, he came through in a spectacular way, right? You can brag about the game stats and the player performance all day long because the game's over and your team won it, as much as the rest of us don't want to admit. But during that game, there might have been a few worries that you experienced, if you'll be honest, right? At halftime of that game, the score was Falcons 28, Patriots 3, right? No team in Super Bowl history had ever come back from a 25-point deficit, right? In 50 years, no team had ever overcome that kind of position within the game. So most people assumed, I remember I did, the game was over, right? The only entertainment left was the halftime show and the commercials. And I was those hot wings, right? The true Patriots fans will tell you they never doubted, right? They knew that their quarterback would come through, right? He's a master at getting it done. They had seen him do it time and again, right? And so if there was time left on the clock, then Brady's going to get his team into scoring position and then punch that ball right into the end zone. That's the way that he worked. And if you're a true fan, if you're a true believer, then you would expect that that's what's going to happen. You never lost faith. And the truth is, Brady did just exactly that, right? Now, he not only did he lead 5 scoring offensive drives in the second half of the game that ended up tying the score, but then, of course, they went into overtime and they won the final touchdown. The final score was 34-28, greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Easy to talk about now because we've been through it, but very few believed in that moment of doubt at halftime that it could happen. And let me ask you a question. When it comes to God, what kind of fan are you? Right? Are you the wait and see kind of a fan who screams and cries when your team is behind and you worry, right, that they're going to lose? I know some people like that. They won't watch the game with anybody else because they're terrible in terms of their faith level. Or are you the kind of fan that munches your Pringles and hot wings comfortably even when your team is down because you believe your team is going to come through? You just know it. When it comes to worship, when it comes to God, are you a worship only after you see kind of person? Or are you a worship no matter what you see kind of person? How do you become that worship in the middle of the storm type of a person? Well, this is exactly what we're talking about. How do we turn worry into worship? How do we turn that moment when we're in doubt and we don't see the future and we don't know what's going to go on and things are out of control and I don't know and it seems like the score is upside down from where it should be, what do we do? Well, this is where we worship. This is where we actually take what would be worry and we convert it into something that is worthy and saying to God, you are worthy. Number one, let me just give you three quick things. One, realize that God cares about your needs. I mean, of course, it's really basic, and that's where we started as we read the verse. But we have to remember and remind ourselves in the midst of the storm, right now, where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. And we're facing many things, insecurities about the future, frustrations about the present, not understanding someone, what is going on, confusion and anger, all those types of things. We have to remember God is the one that cares about our needs. We don't serve a God that is distracted. We don't serve a God that's disinterested. He's not a God that has set the world into motion and gone somewhere else. He's right here with us, right? That verse in 1 Peter that I read, that he cares for you. Not just he cares for the world, but he actually cares for you. Romans 8:32 says that for God proved his love by giving his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. Man, that's a powerful verse, right? God's not going to hold anything good from you. That's his desire, is to give us everything that we need. And we have to center ourselves right there in that place. When worry begins to come, we say, you know what, I'm going to take control of my worry, and I'm going to redirect, because worry is destructive, worry is deformative, worry is a deception. You know what, God, I know the truth. Your word says you're good. Your word says you love me. Luke 12:31, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. God actually cares about you and what you're going through. He cares about what's happening with your family. He cares about the struggles that you're having right now, today. He cares about your marriage and your kids and your job, because he cares about you. So everything around you, he's actually interested in. He wants the best for you. He wants to see you not just survive, but he wants to see you thrive, right? He wants you to live at your highest level. He is the original inventor of the motto, be all you can be, right? That came from the Father, because he's looking at us and he says, my kids, I want them to succeed and live in victory. Now, I probably should say here that God cares for our needs. That doesn't mean that he cares for all of our greeds, right? I mean, he's not interested in giving you and me just the things that we want that actually will destroy us. Because just sometimes, oftentimes, the things that we think we need, we so desperately want, actually will hurt us, right? The thing I want to desperately buy, or that promotion that I so desperately want, the person that I think really needs to fall in love with me, that they're actually not good for me. And that doesn't mean that God is my special genie in a bottle, that just because I trust him and ask him to do it, he's going to do everything he wants, and that everything that I want, and that's what real faith is. No. God's not our personal vending machine, but he does love us so much. He does care for us so much that he's going to make sure that we have what we need, and we can fully and completely trust in him. We will always have enough when we ask Jesus. We will always have enough when we have Jesus. Now, the second thing, after we trust the Lord and remind ourselves, put our mind in that place, that's the first thing, is we unhook ourselves from worry, and we redirect our minds to trust. And then what we do, number two, is we allow the Lord to be in charge. You're not in control. He is. Being in charge is his job. It's not your job. It's not my job. Our job is to be faithful, to follow his lead. It's to do what he says and to trust him with the rest, right? I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to stop trying to pick up something that's not mine. I'm going to stop carrying things that are not mine. If you were to work for someone, for example, if you work for a farmer and they tell you to take the tractor and go plow the field, then you get the tractor and you plow the field. It's his field. It's his tractor. He's paying you to do the job. So you do it. Right? There's no use in that story. There's no use of you worrying about whether or not the farmer made the right decision, because the farmer is the boss, right? Remember this. God is the boss. He's our boss. He's the owner. He runs the show, right? He signs the checks. He owns the tractors. He owns the field. He makes the decision. We don't have to worry about anything except for doing the things he tells us to do. The problem is that we are control freaks and we hate giving up control. Just release it back to God. And the third thing there is we do our part. Turning worry into worship, well, the part that we begin to play is what is in, we find in Philippians chapter 4. This is exactly what our part is. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Okay, unhook from worry. What do we do instead? Instead, pray about everything. There's a secret. We turn actually our worries into prayers. The verse goes on, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Right? So what do we see there? We turn our worries into prayers. Right? The truth is we should pray about everything. Everything that comes to our mind that we are beginning to be stung by worry and concern about the future and our kids and what's going on in school and the money and the COVID and the virus and this and that and all the other things. What do? Well, we realize we're worrying and we unhook from worry and we begin to convert that into a prayer. God, that is a concerning thing to me. I'm worried about that. Lord, would you please carry that? And we begin to pray about it. And then we simply ask him to deal with it, right? And we thank him that he's more than able to deal with it. Lord, I'm worried about my kids and this last year and the loss of school and the friendships and the isolation and the extra screen time and all the things that is crazy. I don't understand where they're at right now. I feel like there's a disconnection even though we spend more time together. I'm worried about that. Lord, I'm telling you about it, and I'm asking you, would you please cover that? Would you please heal the breach? I know, Lord, you can take situations that are broken. You can take lost time and miraculously make it up. You can take a lost year, and in just a few short weeks or months, you can turn that around and surprise us with the way that you do it. So, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know you can do it. So I'm simply asking you to carry it, and I'm thanking you, Lord, that you're more than able. Thank you, God, that you're not surprised by this. Thank you, God, that you have the power to do something about this. And thank you, Lord, that you love us, my family, my kids, enough to actually cover us and to heal us, right? And so we just begin to take what was a worry and we make it a prayer point. And we tell God about it. We don't just tell ourselves, stop worrying. We take that worry and we actually redirect it into a point of prayer and a point of worship. And then the next thing that happens is we simply receive his peace. That's what the verse said. Begin to ask God, thank him, and you will experience God's peace. Receiving the Lord's peace is both sort of an active thing and a passive thing, right? We're converting our worries into prayers, and we're thanking God that he can do all that, and then we're just actually by faith receiving his peace. So there's a measure of peace, I think, that we receive even by expressing those things to God. But then we just say, you know what, Lord, thank you for your peace. Thank you that you're here in this moment. Thank you that I don't have to carry that which is not mine to carry. Would you just come and give me your peace? I find that worries, they're like my phone these days. And I set it down. Perhaps this is your experience as well. You set your phone down and you tell yourself not to pick it up. And then within just a few moments, you find it back in your hand again. And I'm going, what? How did this get here? How am I staring at this thing again? And I have to put it down again. The next time you find yourself worrying, right? Next time you pick up that worry, turn the worry into prayer. Oh, God, here's this thing yet again. I'll let you know about it. Would you please take care of it? I'm going to put it back down. I want to thank you that you're more than faithful and that you're more than able to deal with that thing. And I'm going to lay it down and I'm going to receive your peace. I'm going to receive your life. I'm going to receive your joy. I'm not going to carry something that I am not designed to carry. What are you worried about today? What are you carrying that you have no business carrying? I just want to encourage you, it's time to once again put your trust in the right place. The one who's in control. The one who can actually do something about it. The one who actually promises, if we will turn our worries into prayers and we'll yield them to him, that he will give us his perfect peace because he cares for us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, help us not to carry things that we're not designed to carry. We find ourselves worrying in so many different ways. Lord, right now, just by faith, we remind ourselves of how good you are. And we choose to unhook ourselves from the horrible driving train that is worry. It's so destructive to us. It strangles us and it chokes us. And it threatens, Lord, to pull the breath of life right out of our lungs. And Lord, we're just choosing today to trust that you are more than able to carry all those things. Help us to turn our worries into prayers. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, whatever worries they're facing, worries about the present, worries about the future, worries about the past, worries about money, worries about relationships, worries about their jobs, about their family. Lord, I just pray right now that those worries, as they give them to you, they will see and receive your peace, that your peace would come in exchange for every concern, because you're a God who loves to carry all of our needs. Bless my brothers and sisters, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.